నామేధయా న బహునాశ్రుతేన తమ్మేవ ప్రణుతే తేన లభ్య. సో ద గ్లోరియస్ పాత్ ఆఫ్ డివోషనల్ సర్వీస్ ఇస్ అవార్డెడ్ ఓన్లీ టు ఎ వెరీ ఫార్చునేట్ సోల్ అండ్ దాట్ కెనాట్ బి అండర్స్టెడ్ హి సేస్ ఈవెన్ బై గివింగ్ ఎనీ అమౌంట్ ఆఫ్ ప్రవచనాస్ ఆర్ బై ఎనీ అమౌంట్ ఆఫ్ మేధయ ఆర్ ఇంటెలిజెన్స్ బహునాశ్రుతేన ఆర్ బై ఈవెన్ హియరింగ్ ఎనీ అమౌంట్ ఆఫ్ స్క్రిప్చర్స్ the devotional service cannot be awakened without coming in contact with someone possessing devotional service. So here 4-5 benefits of devotional service are given by Srila Prabhupada in the purport based on the pastimes of Narada. Prabhupada says here how that small Narada boy, although he was only a small boy, when his mother died, you can imagine how the children, they become psychologically stunted in their growth when they lose their mother or father. And they practically go mad. They become anath or without any caretaker. On the other hand, here we find Narada boy, by associating with the devotees, he got such a transcendental maturity that he considered this event of his mother passing away as a blessing in disguise, so that he can totally surrender himself to the Supreme Lord. Prabhupada explains here, such is the maturity that devotional service brings in the life of an individual. How it has transformed him. And then Prabhupada says next, there is a sincere urge in the heart of Narada boy to see Krishna face to face. Exactly as the devotees of the Lord were always tinged with the salve of love in their eyes, constantly absorbed in relishing Krishna Katha. So Narada also wanted to become one. So that desire was also granted to him when the Lord gave him his darshan. Although it was a brief interview that Lord gave him, still the Lord gave him darshan because the Narada had a very ardent desire. And also Prabhupada says, not only that, he also, the devotional path also helps one to completely free one from fruitive action or karmic bondage, which has been stored by a person for millions of lifetimes, that can be burnt to ashes. And at last Prabhupada is saying that one also gets the process by which one can transform one's material body into a spiritual one. One can turn one's material body into a spiritual body. In this way, all these mysteries of transcendent realization are experienced by Narada Muni himself, and he is explaining, and Narada is the greatest authority. And Prabhupada says that these things are not understood even in the original texts of the Vedas, like Rig Veda, Yajur Veda, Sama Veda, Atharva Veda. Because it is said, Vedeshu Durlabham, Adurlabham Atma Bhaktav, it is said. Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Brahma himself says that. Brahma was the first one to hear everything from Krishna, including the Vedas also. And Brahma is the one who speaks everything to his disciple Narada and subsequently to others. And he himself says, even if you refer to the Vedas, you will not be able to understand Lord Govinda. Not possible. Vedesh Durlabham, he says. The personified Vedas are constantly offering prayers to Krishna to understand him. But they always fail miserably in describing the Supreme Lord in his completeness. But only a devotee can, through personal revelation that a devotee gets from the Lord himself, Lord himself reveals himself to his devotee. And then such a devotee can speak with realization as Narada speaks here to Veda Vyas. That is why this verse explains, Tarko apatishta ashudva vibhina nasa vrishirya samatam nabhinnam dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhayam. It says that if you really want to know the ultimate dharma, you have to hear it only from, by studying the life of a devotee. Because the ultimate dharma is resting in the behavior of a devotee. Lord Chaitanya also said that. By observing the behavior of a pure devotee, only can one understand what devotional service is. Now, then there may be a debate on who is a pure devotee and who is not. That is why it says, Mahajano Yena Gata Sappanta. If you do not know any pure devotee, then you have to first start understanding the science of devotional service from the life of Mahajans. Like Swayambhu, Narada, Shambhu, Kumara, Kapila, Manu, Prahlada, Janaka, Bhishma, Balir, Vaya, Sakira and Yamaraj. From them you have to hear. By seeing their lifestyle. So, Swayambhu Narada also comes there. So, he is one of the Mahajanas. He is a very great authority. And he is describing to Vedavyas. So, Prabhupada says there is no better authority to hear from. And he is directly explaining his realization to Vedavyas. So, he says, Srimad Bhagavatam is the mature fruit of all the Vedic literatures. That is explained in the Bhagavatam itself. As it is said, Pibata Bhagavatam Rasamalayam. It is a Nigama Kalpataror Galitam Phalam. Galitam Phalam means mature fruit. Nigama means the Vedic tree. The tree of the Vedas has many branches, many leaves, many flowers and many fruits. But although the tree is a huge tree, not every part of the tree can be relished by anyone. One cannot eat the bark of the tree or the branches of the tree. So there is karma kanda, jnana kanda, upasana kanda, which are all called as the branches of the tree. And then there are also flowers in the tree, different flowers. So in all these processes, the Vedas are given, the Puranas are given, everything is given. But the fruit, the bitter fruit or the unpalatable fruit is like the Vedanta. But the mature fruit is Srimad Bhagavatam. Because Veda Vyas, in his maturity, he wrote, as it is said in the first canto itself, he wrote the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's like a ripened mango, ripe fruit, the most relishable part of the tree. So he calls it as Rasamalayam. Rasamalayam. It's full of transcendental mellows. Muhuraho, Rasika. He is inviting, oh Rasikas. Rasika Bhaktas are those who know how to relish the transcendental mellows of relationships that the Lord exhibits with His devotees. So He's calling. Like there are connoisseurs of art or connoisseurs of food. And these connoisseurs have the specialistic abilities in their field. A connoisseur of art can study art and explain about what the picture represents. Like even he can study a modern art and explain. Or a connoisseur of sculptures can see the sculptures and explain what the particular culture mean and how old it is and how antique it is. He can explain. Or a connoisseur of a hobby of collecting stamps can tell you which is the oldest stamp, which is new, which are the latest stamps, they collect stamps. Similarly, a connoisseur of rasas, amongst all the yogis, the rasikas are considered the topmost. Because they thoroughly dive deep into the ocean of transcendental bliss. And they come out with the pearls and jewels of spiritual devotional realizations. Because in the surface of the ocean you will only get fishes. But if you dive deep, you will get Navaratnas. Similarly, the surface of religion is yajna, dana, tapa. You have to be dutiful, you should be obey God, bow down to Him, do this ritual, that ritual. There are so many things. If you go a little deeper, there is jnana kanda. You can, identify with Brahman. But only when one goes very deep in the devotional path, then one becomes a rasika bhakta, like Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur or Baladev Vidya Bhushan, and all the acharyas down the line. So, Srimad Bhagavatam is written for such rasika bhaktas who are ready to cast away all the material ambitions and goals of the material world and keep love for Krishna as the ultimate goal and the highest pedestal of their heart. For them the Srimad Bhagavatam is given. That is why right in the beginning only Bhagavatam has put an eligibility criteria that this is for Nirmat Saranam Satam. Because in this world, between man and man, there is competition. Between one family and another family, there is competition. Even amongst relatives, there are people finding fault and criticizing one another about their greatness. And there are also countries, one nation, another nation, fighting Prabhupada says the scientists are so educated and learned, but even after getting so much education, every scientist is helping their own country to produce bombs and throw on the other country. This goes to show how much the aham and mama is there in each country. After even so much education, there is a kind of pulling the leg of other countries or destroying the other countries. So, as long as this envy for one another is there in this world, Bhagavatam cannot be understood. So it says, Nirmatsaranam Satam. So the devotees are non-envious. Why they are non-envious? They know that the goal to be achieved is not here in the material world, that is in the spiritual world. The goal to be achieved is in Krishna's feet, which is in the spiritual world. So why to compete with something in the material world? There is nothing to compete here. Nothing is going to remain with us. Everything is going to be taken away. So, devotees have the highest ambition in life, to become the servant of the greatest person, the supreme person, Krishna. And they are satisfied with whatever they get. So, such a devotional path is a great science. It is not some imaginative ecstasy or some imagination or some speculation. It has to be very systematically learned from an authority like Narada. That is why Prabhupada says how systematically Narada taught the principles of devotional service to his disciple Vyasadev. Because he wanted Vyasadev to write the Srimad Bhagavatam. So he is describing how devotion service stands supreme amongst all the other religious paths. It is very unique. And how such great results are achieved by devotional service. In the general Vedic type of lifestyle, people know that if you give 1 rupee to a Brahmana, you will get 1,000 rupees back. Or if you do some Vedic sacrifices, you will get some material benefits from the demigods. But it is only explained in the special Puranas describing the worship of Vishnu or Krishna that the benefits achieved by a devotee or by even one who is not a devotee but who is coming in contact with some devotional activities. Such a person, the benefits derived are not within the purview of the material world, but they are beyond the material world. We will see. For example, it is said if one, in all the Vishnu temples you will find there is Charanamrit kept. If one takes the Charanamrit of the Lord and drinks the Charanamrit, very soon one attains the kingdom of God, it is said. So, there are so many pastimes which illustrate this. We will discuss one of that. But there are many other similar things explained. Like if one enters into the temple of Vishnu with a great samutkanta, great eagerness to see the form of the deities in the temple, then such a person will not have to enter into the womb of any mother in future. Which means he will not have to take birth again in the material world. Similarly, during this Chaturmas period, which has just started, July, August, September, October, during these months, it is explained in Skanda Puran, that if one circumambulates temple of Krishna or Vishnu four times, that is equivalent to circumambulating the universe thousands of times. And of course, you may ask, what is the benefit in circumambulating the universe thousands of times? But it is equivalent to circumambulating the Lord thousands of times, and such a person again becomes eligible to enter into the kingdom of God. It is said, especially, there are some special concessions and benefits given during special tithis and months, like the Chaturmas period. So, similarly it is said, if one worships the Lord exactly like a king is worshipped by his servants, like that if somebody arranges for the worship, or if somebody worships the Lord, then such a person will be promoted to the spiritual world where he will be able to worship the Lord in the same way. He can worship. Also it is said if someone smells the fragrance of the flowers offered to Krishna or Vishnu, then such smelling of the fragrance will remove all the material contamination in the heart of the smelling person. Or it removes the contamination arising from the sinful habits that one has been cultivating for many, many lifetimes. Like we all have sinful habit, right? By smelling the fragrance of the flower offered to Lord, the contamination of the sinful habits will go away, which means the sinful habits will gradually vanish by that. If somebody says, I am already free from all sin, I don't commit any sin, Still such a person should not stop smelling the fragrance of the flowers offered to Lord. Why? Because such a person can become free from false pride and impersonalistic conceptions and can become attracted to the personality of Godhead, just like the Chatushkumaras became attracted to the personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, by smelling the tulasi offered to the feet of the Lord. So they had a mind fixed on Omkar, but by smelling the fragrance of the tulasi in the Lord's lotus feet, immediately their conviction was agitated and shaken up, and then they became devotees of Vishnu after that. They became bhaktas after that. In this way, many examples are given. It is said in Linga Puran. Linga Puran is coming under Shiva Puran. Linga Puran is one of the Puranas which glorifies Lord Shiva. There it is said, if somebody glorifies the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, or Krishna, very heartily, singing continuously for a prolonged period of time with great love for the Lord in the heart, such a person is transported to the abode of Lord Hari, where he can always continue to sing the glories of Lord Hari. And such a person pleases Lord Hari more than Lord Shiva, it is said. This is actually a scripture in glorification of Shiva, which explains such a singer is considered by the Lord himself to be better than Lord Shiva also. So in this way, you will find all the results that are promised in these scriptures are all transcendental results. None of them are mundane. None of them pertain to this material world. It doesn't talk about... Of course, it's not that one will not get something of this world. When one of the great devotees of the Lord, one Sudama, not the Sudama Vipra, this is another Sudama florist. When Lord Krishna entered Mathura, he offered flower garland to Krishna and Balaram, and he brought sandalwood pulp and offered in the body, offered them some fruits and betel nuts and everything, and offered obeisances and offered praises and glorification of Krishna. And after that, the Lord asked him, what do you want? And he didn't want anything. He didn't want anything of the world. He simply wanted to perform welfare activities for the people. He said, I don't want anything. I want to serve others. But the Lord said, while you are in this world, you will enjoy all the material benefits within the material world. And then after you leave the body, you will come back to my abode. Lord promised him both. Both material enjoyment and spiritual enjoyment. Both he promised. And Lord has given such material and spiritual enjoyment to many, like Sudama Vipra also, as you find. And many others, like Dhruva Maharaj. Lord gave him a Dhruva Loka as well as spiritual world. So, in this way, a devotee achieves all benedictions by taking to the path of auspicious path of devotional service. Here Prabhupada is explaining how he got the maturity suddenly to tolerate the passing away of his mother by being bitten by a serpent. So how did this maturity come? So this is the glory of devotional service. Even one who is very young, even a small boy can develop such kind of intensity in wanting to achieve the Lord. You find Dhruva Maharaj, you find Prahalad Maharaj, they were also small boys, just like Narada was a small boy. So devotion service is awakened in such a early stage of childhood or boyhood. So this is a miracle of devotion service. Generally one studies the scriptures for several years. One studies for 20, 25, 30, 40 years before one can come to some conclusion of what one should be doing. But here you find small children taking to devotion service and it's awakened in their heart, and they have got even darshan of Lord. Dhruva got darshan of the Lord, Prahlad Maharaj got darshan of the Lord, Narada got darshan of the Lord. So in this way, a boy can achieve devotion service so easily. That is why Prahlad Maharaj tells all his demoniac friends, Prinanaya Mukundasya. He says Lord Hari is the most easiest person to be pleased in the whole creation. You cannot please anyone, but you can please Lord Hari very easily, he says. Prabhupada writes in one of the purports, he says, one should somehow or other develop this lavalyam for the Lord, or the greed for attaining him. And one should actually cry to attain the Lord. This he writes in Nectar of Devotion. And he says there, one should learn the simple technique of crying for the Lord, he says. So you wonder, what is the simple technique? Our heart is like a hardened stone, which never melts. It's as hard as a diamond. Prabhupada says one should learn the simple technique of crying for the Lord. And then he explains what is this simple technique. He says, the simple technique of crying for the Lord is actually begging Him and praying Him and expressing one's eagerness to attain Him and glorifying Him for His wonderful nature. So, small children like Narada, they could attain that. They could attain such a great maturity. And the devotion service itself is such a great science that if one hears about the Lord and His activities or about the process of devotion service, it awakens a person very swiftly. That is why the word achiram is used. Shinbata shraddaya nityam grinasasya svateshitam kalena na adidirgena Bhagavan vishate hridi. Lord will enter into your heart. How? By Shrinvata Shraddhaya Nityam, by very attentively paying audience to devotees. And you hear Shraddhaya, with great transcendental faith one should hear. Nityam, every day. Grinatascha means you should grasp it. Svacheshtitam, by your endeavor. You cannot be coaxed or forced by others. Svachesta means by your own endeavor. Now we may say, Prabhuji, is association not helpful? There are always, we emphasize on association. Association can be inspirational, but association cannot assure you that you will become a devotee. Association can only inspire you. That is why he says svacheshtita. It's a svacheshta. Ultimately, even sometimes a person can speak a lot about devotional service. We may even preach to others, but we ourselves may not become a very serious devotee. Even though we may speak about it. What is the meaning of that? The meaning is that we may speak mechanically, we may learn, because the information is not very difficult to learn. The information about devotion service is easy to learn. We may learn it, remember it, hold it in the memory and give it to others. But how much are we touched by it in our heart? How much are we affected by it? How much are we believing in what we are speaking and learning, and how much are we influenced by the Lord and His qualities? That is very important, and that is devotion service. There is a story from one of the Puranas. This will illustrate this point. How, if a person is sufficiently influenced by the information and knowledge of devotion service, he gets more benefit than even a person who knows about it, or who is aware of it, or who can simply give it to others in a mechanical way. So Narada himself tells this story again, the very same Narada who is speaking here. So he is telling the story to a king. He says there was a great hunter called Gulika. His name was Gulika. So this hunter was a very vicious hunter, because he was always causing so many inconveniences to the gentle mass of people. He would abduct other men's wives and enjoy with them. He would rob people of their wealth and murder them. And for him, murdering even brahmanas or cows and hundreds was very common activity. And he was he was considered like the god of death by the people. Nobody would want to even see his face. People would run away. People would be put to terror when they would hear his name. So this was his condition. And because he was such a vicious person, dangerous person, nobody would pass through, and he could not meet people for a long time. So one day he came out of his place and he went in search of some place where he can rob some wealth. So he came to a province of the capital of King of Savira. And that was a very rich province, because there were many, many trading centers. There were many beautiful lakes filled with lotuses and lilies. And there were huge palaces. And the people are all very rich. They were wearing costly ornaments and jewelry and garments. All of them were well-dressed. So in this way, it was a great city, well-developed city. So he thought that if I go to the city, probably I'll get enough wealth to enjoy. So he came there. And then he saw, from a distance, there was a beautiful gopuram of Vishnu's temple. And the gopuram had beautiful golden kalashas in the top. They were like water pots. And they were dazzling in the shining sun. So when he saw that, he became very inspired. Oh, here is a great opportunity for me. That is a Vishnu's temple, and there must be a lot of gold and silver ornaments which must be kept for the deities. So he thought, let me go and loot the temple. So it was a middle of the day, almost like noon time. Gulika came there into the temple. Practically the temple was empty. There was no one except the great Brahmana Uttanka, who was sitting there in the temple hall. And with his semi-closed eyes, he was contemplating on the Lord's pastimes and activities, completely absorbed in transcendental rapture. This Brahmana Uttanka was a storehouse of austerities, and he was very learned in all the scriptures, and he was also a very great devotee of Lord Vishnu. So he was absorbed in remembrance of the Lord in his mind. And suddenly Uttanka, when this Gulika entered there, he thought that this Brahmana would be a stumbling block in my robbing all the jewelry and everything. So he thought that, let me finish him off before I go and get the treasury box. So suddenly he came close to the Brahmana and caught hold of his tuft, and he threw him to the ground, and keeping his feet on the middle of his chest with great pressure, he took out his sword to sever the head of this Brahmana. So when Uttanka saw this, he was not at all shocked, surprisingly. So this thief has always, this Gulika had always seen that whenever he would do such a thing to anybody, as soon as he would catch them, they would scream and yell and they would try to run away and defend themselves, or they would attack back. But he found that this Brahmana didn't attack back. But this Brahmana spoke great words of wisdom from the scriptures about the glorious path of devotional service. He spoke to him. He told him a verse. There are some of the wonderful verses that he spoke. He said, hear about the glory of a devotee. He told him, Bahuda badyamanopi yora rakshamayan vitaha tam uttamam naram prahu Vishnu priyataram sada. He said, a devotee is such a personality that even when he is harassed by any kind of trouble creator, no matter how much a person harasses him, even up to the point of death, Yonara Shamayan Vitaha, he said. Such a person is very tolerant, and he forgives the other person, and he does not become troubled at all. A devotee's cheerful nature can never be taken away. A devotee never laments, a devotee never cries. Why? Because he knows very well that everything is arranged by Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Lord. Every situation that happens in my life is ultimately arranged by the Supreme Lord. So he said, Tam Uttamam Naram Prahu. He is considered the excellent man amongst all men. And such a person is a favorite of Lord Vishnu, he said. He said, Vishnu Priyataram Sada. That means, he is forever favorite of Lord Vishnu, he said. Such a person who has such a tolerance, even in the face of even when others harass him for no good reason. And he said, how does such a person behave? What is his behavior? First he says about his composure, how he tolerates. But how does he deal in return with other people? He said, Sujano nayati vairam parahita buddhir vinashakalepi chedepi chandanattaruhu surabayati mukam kutarasya. This I have heard several times before. Only recently I got this verse. Even you must have heard this example of Chandan. He says, Sujano nayati vairam. A devotee never becomes inimical even to his offender, he said. For example, if somebody insults you, immediately he becomes an offender in your face. And immediately what happens? You develop an aversion for him. And you consider him your enemy. Somebody praises you, What do you think? You consider him your friend. Or even if somebody tells something bad about you on your back, immediately you put his name in your enemies list. Immediately. But here he says, Sujano Nayati Vairam. A devotee never considers anyone his enemy, even an offender. He doesn't consider him his enemy. Parahita Buddhir Vinasha Kalepi. And when such a devotee is even going to die, he doesn't curse his offender and say that, okay, anyway I'm going to die, I give you some curses. Take this curse. At least this curse will work after I die also. This curse will follow you. He doesn't say like that. Parahita Buddhir Vinasha Kalepi. See, here this Uttanka is saying this, it's very meaningful. Why? Because he is in the Vinasha Kalepi condition now. Because now he is almost about to die. He is going to take the knife and cut his throat now. He is saying, I am going to die now, but don't think that I am going to curse you. Because the devotee never curses anyone. He said, Parahita Buddhir. He always contemplates on the welfare of other living beings. Even at that time, when someone even comes to kill him also. And how? He says, Chedepi Chandana Taru. Chandana Taru is the sandalwood tree. Even when an axe hits on a sandalwood tree, to cut the tree, Surabhyati Mukham Kutarasya. Kutarasya is the axe. Mukham means the face. The face of the axe is rendered fragrant. By whom? By the sandalwood tree. Surabhyati means it's rendered fragrant. So that is considered the devotee. Devotee is like the sandalwood tree, and the perpetrator of trouble, he is considered to be the axe. Yeah. The more he gives trouble, the more the devotee will give out his fragrance, he said. And he said, what is the conviction of the devotee that makes him behave like this? The conviction actually comes from the devotee's mature understanding that we are living in the material world, and material world, for no good reason, suffering can come in the material world. As Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, material world is no good place for a gentleman, as he said. And we are in the material world, and why trouble comes in our life, we may not be always be able to reason out. Like this, Uttanka Brahman also said a very interesting verse. He said, Mrigameena Sajjanana Trina Jala Santosha Vikita Vrittinam. See, he said, three things he is saying. Mriga Meena Sajjanana. Mriga is a deer. Meena is the fish. Sajjanana is a devotee of the Lord. Sajjananam is actually a good person or a devotee of the Lord. So, Mriga Meena Sajjanana, he said, and these people are so satisfied with things that are very easily available. These people maintain themselves how? Trina Jala Santosha Vihita Vrittina, he says. Trina means that Mriga is satisfied with Trina, or the grass. And the Meena is satisfied with Jal, water that is available everywhere. And the Sajjanana, the devotees of the Lord, they are satisfied with Santosha Vihita Vrittina, which means contentment. The devotees of the Lord are always contented. They are never demanding, give me this, give me that. No. Whatever the Lord sends, either chalapa santushto, vandvatito vimatsarha. They have no envy towards others. Yadrachalava santushta. Whatever comes of its own accord. Okay, today Krishna gave me rice and dal, I am happy with that. Another day he gave me pulav kadi and paneer sabji, no problem. I will accept that also. A devotee is satisfied. Yeah. A devotee doesn't demand, why only khichdi today? Devotee is happy with anything. Same way, whatever dress, Krishna sends a very nice costly dress devotee wears. Krishna sends tattered quilt, torn quilt. A devotee accepts that. Some place you go, sometimes you are given a very nice cushion bed and you are put in an air-conditioned room and people give you bislary water to drink. Okay, devotee may accept all that. Another time you go, there is no one to ask you who you are and you are finding a terrible cold wind is blowing and there is no proper place to sleep and the window has no doors only and the wind is blowing inside. Devotee can lie on the floor and he can accept that this is what Krishna wants to give me. So a devotee is satisfied with anything. That's why santosha vihita vrittinam. Santosha vihita, it's a disposition of the mind of a devotee, he said. But he says, lupta kadivara pishuna nishkarana vairino jagati, he said. But Although these three personalities, three people are satisfied with such meager things, like mrigamina sajjananam trinajala santoshavita vritti nam, they are satisfied with this. There are causeless enemies to these three people. Like the hunter is a causeless enemy of the deer. The fisherman is the causeless enemy of the fish. Similarly, fault-finding critics are the causeless enemies of the devotees. So the fault-finding critics, they have no good reason why they find fault, but they anyway find fault. So a devotee understands that there is no nishkarana vairino jagati. That is his understanding. There is no good reason for these things. But a devotee understands that trouble will come in the world because this is a world of danger. Prabhupada says, danger must be there because we have put ourselves in a world of danger. He says, how can you put yourself in a world of danger and not expect any dangers? That would be foolishness, isn't it? It's like if somebody goes to a desert and says, oh, sand is very hot, you know. Why there is only sand here? Why not some, you know, nice shelter or shadow also? No, you've gone to a desert and you have to find hot sand there. You have to be ready to walk because you chose to go into a desert land. Or somebody goes into a ocean and says, why there is water only here, nothing else? There will only be water. Somebody come to Dukkhalayam and says, why there is Dukkh? If you come to Dukkhalayam, you have to be ready to face Dukkh. So, I like this sentence the most in Prabhupada's Kunti purports. Danger must be there because we are put in a dangerous position ourselves. He says. So, it's our problem. It's not Krishna's problem. We have chosen to come to this place. So, a devotee admits, a devotee takes responsibility, he understands, I have put myself in this world and for no good reason there can be trouble. And ultimately the trouble which is coming in my life is also known to the Supreme Lord. It is not coming without the knowledge of Krishna. Somehow or other Krishna was a little busy with something else and then, you know, somebody else is coming and causing me trouble. No. Here Uttanga is lying on the ground and this Gulika is putting his feet on his chest and catching his stuff to cut off his neck. And the deity is open, just like the Lord is watching. So Uttanga knows that these things are happening in front of the deity. And then he told the thief, see, I am giving all these instructions to you in front of the Lord. Lord is watching everything. Lord is also a witness. And he knows. And Lord only teaches all these things in the scriptures. In this way, Gulika was preached by Uttanga. When Gulika heard these things, he threw away his sword from his hand. And his whole body started trembling. And there were torrents of tears that started coming from his eyes, continuously. And his voice was faltering. He could not properly speak. And he was telling, oh, my dear great devotee, such a great knowledge, such a great wisdom you have given me now. What a great sin I have done. I have labored so hard for committing so many sins in my life in order to maintain my family members. But I am heading towards hell. Both in this lifetime and in previous lifetimes I have done volumes and volumes of sins. How are these sins going to be eradicated? How will I become free from all these sins? I don't think there is any other way for me. I will never be able to become a devotee with all these volumes of sins. So, fie upon me. Cursing himself like this. On the spot, Gulika fell like a rod on the ground. Flat on the ground, dead. He died on the ground. On the spot he died. Saying like this. His repentance was so great, on the spot he fell on the ground, dropping dead. When Uttanga saw this, he was shocked. How did this person die? Feeling such a great remorse in his heart. So immediately there was Charanamrit kept there. He picked up the Charanamrit and he sprinkled on his face and all over his body. Of course, Gulika did not come back to life. Even after the Charanamrit was sprinkled on his body. But as soon as Charanamrita was sprinkled on his body, immediately Uttanga saw the Vaikuntha airplane coming. Vaikuntha airplane came there. Just above, a little above Uttanga it was standing, and in that Gulika was standing. And Gulika with folded palms told Uttanga, my dear great sage Uttanga, the knowledge of devotion service that you have given me has completely vanquished all my sinful reactions. And all my sinful tendencies. Now here I am with a spiritual body. And it is purely by your mercy that I attained the spiritual body. I have no qualification. So you are my guru. And I cannot repay whatever you have done for me. So from the Vaikuntha airplane in which there were many celestial personalities standing, from them he took the flowers from the spiritual world, which they had brought in the airplane, and he showered it on Uttanka. And he got down from the airplane and he circumambulated him 3 times and offered prostrated obeisances. And with his permission, he boarded the airplane and then he ascended to Vaikuntha. And Uttanka, with both his arms above his head, keeping like this, he was worshipping the Lord of Lakshmi with fervent prayers, his eyes brimming with tears. Uttanka was greatly pleased seeing this great sight. And then the Vaikuntha airplane went to the spiritual world. And here Uttanka was alone again, sitting in the temple of Vishnu, watching this great sight. His hair was standing on end, seeing this. So, you can see how by putting firm faith in what we hear from the scriptures, even one who has committed enormous amount of sins can be freed from all those sins at once. And one can be elevated to such a platform, like Gulika was elevated. So, of course, Uttanka was also a great devotee. At the end of his life, he went back home, back to Godhead. He went to Vaikuntha also. But still, Uttanka was surprised. I have heard all this knowledge. I know all these things. But this Gulika, how he became so powerfully awakened in devotional service. He developed such a firm faith in what he heard. And that's what precisely happened with this Narada boy also. This Narada boy was hearing from the Bhaktivedantas, who was speaking about Krishna Katha in the Chaturmas period. It's the same period now. This period has started, so we can follow in the footsteps of Narada boy, hearing with great faith. So during this period only the great devotees had come to the forest. Although he was a small boy, not very qualified, he used to simply serve them food, wash their plates, and he would be sitting there and watching what they are speaking and hearing. But he developed that type of Shraddha. That is why Shrinvata Shraddhaya Nityam. With great Shraddha one should hear. And every day one should hear. And one requires patience. And Granatascha Satyashitam. Granatha means to grasp. Unfortunately, we are grasping so many material things of the world that we have no place in our hands for grasping Krishna. So we should be ready to give up. Like Narada was ready to even give up his mother. In fact, Narada Bhai was thinking, I have my mother and she is so attached to me and I am her only property. She loves me so much. How can I leave her and become like one of these Bhaktivedantas and become a devotee? Like Brahmacharis have the same problem. When they want to join, they think, how can I leave my mother and father? How I can join the ashram? My mother, father, they love me so much. So naturally, in the worldly relationship, there is strong attachment. So when his mother passed away, because he was devotionally awakened, he took it as a positive sign. He thought that it is only Krishna who has taken my mother away, in order to allow me to become free from all bondage, so that I can go into forest peacefully and I can practice Krishna consciousness. And in this way, his outlook to life changed so much. Instead of cursing the Lord that why you did this to me, I was having only one person in the world who loves me, and you have taken that person also away, and you have rendered me penniless, rendered me anath, with no one to take care. And I was such a nice person that I attended the classes given by the devotees, and after hearing all this class and everything, I was even practicing to become a devotee, and you did this to me, I won't become your devotee. He didn't say that. He took it as a very positive sign, and he became a great devotee, Narada. So this is the science of devotional service, and it produces so many great transcendental results. When the devotional service is awakened in the heart, one sees everything in the world as arrangement or orchestration of Krishna. Anything that happens in my life, a devotee will say, Krishna is doing this to purify me. Somebody is insulting you, immediately you should think, Krishna is doing this to purify me. Like, you know, somebody had written a blasphemy letter, you know, about me and some other counselors, saying that, you know, you people are very strict, you throw out devotees on the basis if they don't study well. So many things, different things they said. So immediately this came to my mind, that, you know, we are getting success after success, praise after praise. Everyone is showering so much praises upon us, that you are all doing wonderful youth preaching and everything. So it is very dangerous to keep on getting praises. Because what will happen if you get too much praises? It will go to the head and you will get a head weight. You will get pride, false pride. So it's good to hear some blasphemy also. At least fortunately in this world there are some blasphemers also. We can find, like he says, that verse, very beautiful verse. He says, Nishkarana Vairino Jagati. We are living in the world for, there are causeless enemies in this world. Even if you don't do any harm to them, but they will consider you their enemy. And we should take it in a positive way, as Krishna arranging an opportunity for us to purify our consciousness. Because whenever somebody insults you, your heart becomes softened and it becomes even more purer. Or you try to find out, is there any meaning in what they say? If there is any meaning, we can take some good lessons to apply it in our lives and become a better individual. So they are helping us to wash our hearts better. So the science of devotion service is so great that it always helps us to be a positive thinker in life. Take everything positively. You get success, you think that, no, I don't deserve this, I'm a fool. But Krishna gives such a success to a fool. How? Maybe he wants to encourage me. If there is a failure, a devotee thinks, I deserve this and much more. After all, I am an unqualified, useless fool. Or if troubles come in a devotee's life, a devotee thinks, I have done so much in the past, sinful activities, that Krishna is only giving me a token, punishment. He can give me much, much more. He is very kind and merciful. He gives only a token. A devotee thinks like that. So a devotee always sees Krishna's hand in everything. That's what Narada taught by his own example. At the same time, although a devotee knows, I am unqualified, he doesn't fear to come in front of the Lord and beg him for the costliest jewel of devotional service. See, sometimes people think that devotees are people with inferiority complex. Some people think like that. Some people think, why devotees always say that I am fallen soul, I am this, I am that. But devotees are not fools. You'll find, although devotees put themselves in a very, very fallen position, the thing they demand from Krishna is the costliest thing. You'll find that they become expert beggars. Like you find, he says, in that song, Gauranga Karuna Karo Dinahi Najane Musama Patita Prabhu Nahi Tribhuvane. He says, in all the three worlds, there is no one more fallen than me, my dear Lord. I am the most fallen. So you may tend to think, okay, he says that I am the most fallen, so I am not qualified to do devotion service. Thought I am going now. So he doesn't say that. Dante Trina Dhari Gaura Daki He Tomar Kripa Kori Aiso Amar Hridaya Mandire. He's saying, that is why, because I am the most fallen, I have come to you. I'm begging that you offer me devotion service and you occupy my heart. You become the Lord of my heart. I'm inviting you into my house of my heart. And then he says, Yadi daya na koribe patita dekhiya patita pavana nama kisera lagiya. What is the use of your being patita pavan, he is telling, if you cannot deliver the most fallen person like me? Can you see how boldly he is challenging? He is saying, I am the most fallen, and if you deliver me, he is like challenging the Lord. Let me see how you are able to deliver me. If you deliver me, then you will become very famous, and you will be called by the name Patita Pavan in the world. And you will get many more clients in the world. You can deliver this one fallen person, because I am the most adamant grihavrata, or determined thief. If you can deliver me, you can deliver anybody. And so in preaching also, we should always think, we generally think, I am preaching to this person, I preach to this person, we generally think like that. But we have to know that here is a person who is very difficult to preach. Within ourselves, there is a person who is most difficult to preach. Once Prabhupada was asking his devotees, do you know who is the greatest enemy in our life to win? And one disciple said, Prabhupada, last. Prabhupada, he said. Another devotee raised his hand and said, and then every devotee was saying different things. Pride, Prabhupada, this Prabhupada. Prabhupada was saying, no. And then disciples got tired after that. They couldn't say anything. They asked Prabhupada, you only tell, they said. Prabhupada said, yourself, Prabhupada said. You are yourself your enemy, Prabhupada said. Because you don't want to, although on one hand you want to become a devotee, secretly you are also contemplating on sense gratification, thinking that nobody is watching me. So you are yourself your enemy, Prabhupada said. So that is why we are a determined thief, it is said. So similarly, Bhaktivinoda Thakur also sings in one song. He says, Amito Tumara Jan. I am your person. I am your man. Don't you know that? And Vimukha Dekhiya, by turning my face away, I am trying to do sense gratification, and it seems to me that you are not coming behind me. I am turning face away from you and I am walking ahead, wandering in this world, looking for sense gratification, and you are keeping quiet yourself. How can a master do like this? It's the duty of the master to protect his servant. You should capture your servant and give a slap and bring him to his senses. You rascal, what are you doing? Amito Muraka Ati, he says. I am a fool. And if a foolish servant goes in a wrong path, Chadya Nijajane, how can you give up your own servant? You should catch him by his neck and bring him back to the right path. So this is the way the devotees pray to the Lord. Although devotees are considering themselves fallen, they are very intelligent in having this lavalyam or greed in their heart. Greed for the greatest jewel of attaining Krishna himself. The thing they are demanding is Lord himself. They don't ask Krishna, please give me your gold ornament you are wearing. Give me gold, give me silver, give me some petty things of the world. Or make me Indra, make me a Chandra, make me a Brahma. They don't ask any of this. They tell Krishna, I don't want anything, I want you. I want you directly. So by getting Krishna, they get everything. That's the tact of the devotees. In this way, Narada also attained the darshan of the Lord. Without asking him anything, he attained Krishna himself. And in this way, in these past so many verses, he very wonderfully teaches the science of devotional service. One should read these verses with great attention and read them over and over again to understand the subtleties of devotional service. By understanding the nature of the Lord, his behavior, nature of the devotee, like Uttanka is teaching about the nature of the devotee. It was so inspiring even to a hunter like Gulika. Such a sinful person can be transformed. So any of us certainly can be transformed if we pay audience to the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. Thank you very much. Kantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda.